It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
So I took the week off last week to celebrate Memorial Day. And so we're going to start, that's where we're going to start this week, is by saying thank you to all the veterans that have made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could enjoy what we enjoy and, have that long weekend to celebrate the sacrifices that have been made. So to all of the families of those folks, just want to say thank you. A lot of sacrifices being made, or at least maybe need to be made in Atlanta. The Braves just can't seem, they can't seem to get it together. They get a couple of games, they start out the year 0-7. They fight all the way back. They get themselves over 500, and now they have entered into another losing streak, which has put them right back under 500. You know, it's going to be tough if we're being realistic here. It's going to be tough for the Braves to even make the playoffs. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be tough. It's really difficult when you lose seven games in a row, which they did to start the year, and now I think they've lost like four or five in a row. When you have two significant losing streaks like that in the same year, oftentimes it doesn't translate into you making the playoffs. Braves are in third place in the National League East, a few games under 500, and it's the offense. All of that talent, all of those guys that have been signed those long-term deals, and it's getting a little ridiculous. Matt Olson, now he's swinging the bat a little better. Remember, he was around like 219, 220 to start the season, and for most of the year, he's gotten his average up to 234, starting to drive the ball out of the ballpark, so he's starting to turn it around. Marcelo Ozuna has been pretty consistent, but he has gone into a little bit of a tailspin. His average has dropped all the way down under 280. I don't know what they're going to do with Murphy. He's hitting 216. Now, he's got 8 home runs and 18 RBIs, so, you know, his power numbers are good, but he's got to do better than 216. Remember, this guy hit under 200 last year, and he's hovering right around that Mendoza line again this year, and Drake Baldwin's pushing him. Drake Baldwin has pushed him so much that they're not even saying that they're going to give Murphy off once a week. He's catching every three games, and Baldwin's getting the other two. So it's every three games, Baldwin. Every three games, Baldwin. So Murphy's not even playing a full week each and every week and getting one day off. It's every 3 days. Austin Riley, been a bright spot. His average also has dipped. He was up around 280, 290, and now he's around 272. 8 home runs, 28 RBIs. Albies has gotten his average up a little bit. He's now beginning to push 250. He's at 240, 5 home runs, 19 RBIs. I'd like to see Albies get his power numbers up. 5 home runs for Ozzie Albies. The Braves are going to need a little bit more production out of him. They're going to need him to hit 25 to 30. Drake Baldwin, as I mentioned, he's hitting 337. He's the only Atlanta Brave with an average over 300. That's it, one. Drake Baldwin, 337. He's the only guy. Michael Harris, man, 31 RBIs. He leads the team. He's only got 3 home runs, which is nuts to think about. He leads the team in RBIs with only 3 home runs, and he's hitting 223 on the season. So a lot of clutch hitting from Michael Harris. But with a guy that can run like Harris can run, 223 is not the kind of average that you're looking for out of your star center fielder. As good as defensively as he is, You want Michael Harris to be hitting about 280, and right now 223 is not going to cut it. And then you've got Allen, who has basically taken the job, who did take the job from Arcia, who is now a Colorado Rocky. In case you missed it, they DFA'd Arcia when they activated Acuna, and he cleared waivers. The Braves then released him. and the Rockies have signed him to a free agent deal. So he is now a Colorado Rocky. Allen has assumed the full-time role at shortstop. He's only hitting .246, no home runs, and 12 RBIs. Pretty good defensive shortstop. He's swinging the bat better than Arcia. Isn't that nuts? He's hitting .246, and he's an offensive upgrade over Arcia, which is why Arcia wasn't playing. I mean, that's just kind of where things are. A guy hitting .246 is an offensive upgrade at shortstop. I would imagine that if the Braves are going to be buyers come trade deadline time, that they're going to want to upgrade at shortstop. I would imagine that's the case. And remember, around the All-Star break, which is before the trade deadline, Profar is scheduled to come back from his PED suspension. He will not be eligible for the postseason, however, but the Braves will have him in the second half of the season, allegedly. So maybe some help coming outside of Acuna and Strider, who have been activated. Acuna has been fantastic since coming off of the IL, and Strider has not been so much. 0-3 with an ERA up over 5. It's one of those situations where Strider is used to being able to pitch with high velocity, 97, 98 on the gun. Right now, the arm strength is not there for that. He's consistently 94, 95. So when he's elevating the fastball at the letters where he's used to throwing the ball by guys, they're either making contact or solid contact at the top of the strike zone, because Strider pitches at the top of the strike zone with that 97, 98 mile an hour fastball, and then he'll break off that slider, which is devastating coming off of the fastball that's 97, 98. It's not as devastating when you're throwing 94, 95, because major league hitters understand there's a huge difference between 94, 95 and 97, 98. You can sit there and wait to see if it's a slider. Give yourself some extra time as a major league hitter to try to fend off the slider if that's what it is, if you're only throwing 94, 95. These are just facts. Pitching staff, you know, Chris Sale, none of the pitchers have really just taken the bull by the horns. And we don't have the Braves don't have a dominant starter right now. Chris Sale, 2-3, the 3.36. Schwellenbach, 3-4, with a 3.42. Grant Holmes, 3-3, with a 3.68. Smith Shawver, 3-2, with a 3.67. And then Strider, 0-3. I'm going to give him some credit. I'm going to correct myself. I said he had an ERA over 5. It's 4.5. Excuse me. In the bullpen has been mostly really, really good outside of Iglesias. Now, Montero, when the Braves made that deal, it was a great deal for them because they really needed some help in the bullpen, and he came over and he solidified a mess. Remember now, the Braves like DFA'd Jesse Chavez, Hector Neris at the beginning of the season, but Iglesias has struggled. Montero came over and really helped the bullpen. He struggled as of late. He's not pitching as well. His ERA has gotten up over 4.5, 4.73 for Rafael Montero. And Iglesias has been a mess, almost touching 6 in the ERA department, 5.75, 3-4. I don't know how many blown saves he's got, but it's more than 5. So, you know, there's only one guy that's got an ERA under 2, and that's Daysbal Hernandez. And, you know, the other night he came into a game, had two outs and nobody on, and all of a sudden the Phillies scored like 3 runs or 2 runs or whatever it was in the inning and ended up shutting out the Braves. That has been a problem with shutouts and low-scoring games. The Braves offense just cannot seem to get it together. You got a lot of guys on that roster that are making a lot of money. A lot of guys that signed long-term deals that are not swinging the bats like they should be swinging. Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, I'm talking to you specifically. Hey, Ozzie Albies, you're in that boat too.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Golnaz Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.
Going to talk a little bit about the NBA finals, and I was thinking about things that don't go together, and something that came that popped into my brain is Atlanta Hawks in NBA finals. We've never had those two words in the same sentence, by the way. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org. So the NBA final, you know, I said this. This is why listeners should listen to what I have to say. When the Lakers and the Rockets went out early in the NBA Finals, the two and three seeds in the on the Western side of things, I told you, the rest of the way for the Oklahoma City Thunder was going to be a cakewalk. There was nobody left on the Western side other than the Rockets and the Lakers that had a chance to beat them, and both of them went out in the first round. So the Thunder had a clear path to the NBA Finals. And they've done nothing short of take advantage of that and dominate their way to the NBA Finals. They're in. They have won the Western Conference Finals. They beat the Timberwolves, the sixth seed. They played the sixth seed in the Western Conference Finals. They beat the Timberwolves 4-1. Of course, the Thunder are the one seed. And at this point, I'm picking the Thunder. I mean, I know what's going on in the Eastern Conference. I know what's left over there. In the Eastern Conference Finals, it's probably going to be the Pacers that they play. And I like the matchup there for the Thunder. I don't really think it matters even if the Knicks rally or not. I think that the Thunder are going to dominate the Pacers, and if the Knicks rally, they'll dominate the Knicks. The Thunder are going to be your next NBA champion. And I don't even know if the NBA Finals will be, you know, even close. Remember, the Thunder just beat the Wolves 4-1. I can see them winning the NBA Finals 4-1, 4-2, at worst case, 4-2, regardless if it's the Pacers or the Knicks. The Pacers lead that series over in the Eastern Conference Finals in a, you know, big-time rivalry series. So you remember in the 90s, when the Heat and the Knicks would get together with Reggie and Shrimp and Stark and Ewing and all of those guys, and it would get physical and ugly. And I can't remember the guy's first name, but maybe it was Derek Mason, maybe, but his last name was Mason. Just fights all the time. Reggie hitting key shots, big time threes. Remember there was that game where the Pacers were down by like, I don't know, 5 points with like 30 seconds to go, and Reggie scored like 8 points in that 30 seconds to steal a game for the Pacers to advance to the NBA Finals. They went on to lose, but yeah, I mean, those rivalries and those series in the 90s, they were something. This one's been pretty good. It has been testy for sure. You know, kind of taking a page out of that book. 3-1. The Pacers, had that lead. And, you know, I think they'll get to the NBA Finals, and I think they'll play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, they will, because the Thunder are there waiting. And I think it's a Thunder – it's definitely a Thunder win. I'm sitting here debating on whether or not the Thunder can sweep the NBA Finals. It's tough to sweep any series in the playoffs, much less an NBA Finals series, because that's supposed to be the two best teams in the NBA. So it's hard to sweep, but I think the Thunder have an outside chance. I certainly think they can win in five. And I don't think that there's any question that there's no way the series gets past 6 games with the Thunder winning. Just the matchups, the matchups are great. Now, the one thing I will say that the Pacers will have to their advantage, and I'm not saying the Thunder aren't a physical team, but maybe the Pacers are a little bit more physical than the Thunder. How big of a role that will play in an NBA Finals series, I don't know. Especially between two teams that don't really have a lot of history like the Knicks and Pacers do. I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see on that. And the Knicks are a physical team, too. I don't think they're as physical as the Pacers. Halliburton's been great for the Pacers, by the way. He has certainly established himself, if he had not already. He had certainly established himself as a star, maybe into the mainstream for the folks that don't really follow the NBA. Maybe just casually, they don't really know who Halliburton is, but they probably do now. He's had a fantastic, fantastic series and has looked like the leader of that team. So I'll take the Pacers to get there. I'll take the Thunder to win that series, and I'll take them in five. I don't think it'll be a sweep. I don't think it's going to go six. I'll take the Thunder in five. Remember, the Pacers are the 4 seed. The Pacers are the 4 seed in the East, and the Thunder are the 1 seed. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances. Pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82, off of Exit 29 in Brunswick, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service. Yeah, I'll take the Thunder in 5 games over the Indiana Pacers unless the Knicks can rally. And even if the Knicks rally, I'm still taking the Thunder. Probably in the same amount of games. 5. Either way.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Train dealer and Train comfort specialist. High quality work. Trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street, across from Dollar General. Tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Father's Day is just around the corner. He makes time for you every day. Make his day special. Dad, let your loved ones acknowledge everything you do for them with a special gift from Cunningham Jewelers. All watches 20% off for Father's Day. Great gifts everywhere in the store. Grill sets, non-tipping beverage holders, oyster knives, and more. Cunningham Jewelers, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
The friendly staff at Golnaz Pharmacy would like to invite you to their new second location off of exit 29, just down from Winn-Dixie. Golnaz Pharmacy accepts most insurances, offers online transfers, free delivery to St. Simons in Brunswick, average in-store wait times of under 5 minutes, and a convenient drive-through at both locations. Whether it's our Altama location or exit 29, Golnaz Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. 912-266-8140 or 912-400-2929. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
We're only a few months away from college football season. High school football season kicks off in less than 2 months. So football season is beginning to creep up on us. And what I like to do is I like to preview some of the schedules from teams around the Southeast. And we've done that a good bit. One of the teams that we haven't previewed, because they don't really, geographically, they're not really in the Southeast, but they are in the Southeastern Conference. And they're a relevant team to be, having a conversation about the Texas Longhorns and what their schedule looks like. A lot of experts, and I mean a lot of experts, think that there are two really, really, really good teams in the SEC, Texas and Georgia. There was an article about that not very long ago at the SouthernSportsEdition.com. By the way, if you miss any of this show, you can stream it on demand at thesouthernsportsedition.com. And also you can keep up with all of your local teams and your regional teams at the same place, thesouthernsportsedition.com. So I want to take a look and dive in to the Texas schedule. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. AAA baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jaxshrimp.com, jaxshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball, affordable, family fun. So the Texas Longhorns, they're going to open their season with a bang. On August the 30th, the Longhorns will travel to the Shoe to play Ohio State. I will run their schedule through, tell you what games I think they're going to win after we run through it, and then I'll give you best case, worst case, and some games I have scheduled or games I have circled on their schedule, which I think could go, either way, or tricky games. Every game in the SEC is a tricky game. Every game in the Big Ten, now, you can say the same thing. It's a tricky, tricky game. On August the 30th, Texas will head to Columbus, Ohio to play the Buckeyes. On September the 6th, Texas will be at home against San Jose State. September the 13th, Texas will be at home against UTEP. September the 20th, Texas is at home against Sam Houston. And then on September the 27th, they get a bye. So you're talking about a stretch of Ohio State, then it gets much, much easier. San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston all at home for Texas. Then Texas gets into, on October the 4th, they get into conference play in the SEC. They'll go on the road to Gainesville in the swamp to play the Gators. I think this is a tricky, tricky game. I'm not really sure what to make of the Gators. Billy Napier, we've had this conversation. Billy Napier has been there, and he's been right around 7-5, 6-6. And the way his schedule sets up, it kind of plays out the same way. I don't know how much patience the powers that be in Gainesville are going to have for another 6-6 or 7-5. So Florida, this would be a big, big-time get game for Billy Napier to kind of say to the administration, and remember, this game is, you know, this is early in the season, not even halfway through. So if they get this game against Texas, and mind you, it is in Gainesville, it's in the swamp, it's a tough place to play. It is still a tough place to play and win. If Florida gets that game, I think it builds a lot of momentum for them in that brutal of a schedule that they have. But at the end of the day, you got to take reality into the situation too and look at the rosters. But nonetheless, Texas goes to Gainesville to play the Gators in the swamp on October the 4th. On October the 11th, they back that game up with the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma in Dallas. They will then head on the road to Kentucky on August the 18th. They'll go to Lexington to play the Wildcats. On October the 25th, they'll go to Stark Vegas to play the Mississippi State Bulldogs. November the 1st, as we roll to the last part of the season, they'll be at home against Vanderbilt. On November the 8th, they'll roll into a bye as they're getting ready to head to Athens on November the 15th to play the Georgia Bulldogs. November the 22nd, Arkansas at Texas. And they'll round out their schedule and finish their year in big-time rivalry game, Texas A&M at College Station. So that's at Texas, excuse me. So the games I have circled for them, for Texas, is the Ohio State game, the Florida game, because I do think it's a tricky game, the Georgia game, and the Texas A&M game. Now, sitting here looking at the schedule, I have one loss for the Longhorns. I've got them at 11-1 with a loss on November the 15th to the Georgia Bulldogs. That's the only game that I have them losing, me picking them losing. 11-1, that gets them into the SEC championship game for sure. And then, you know, they'll probably get Georgia in a rematch, which is kind of what we saw last year. The Ohio State game, which I also have circled, the reason I have it circled is because it's a, you know, that's a big, big time game. Ohio State, you're defending national champions. They'll be at home against Texas. I've got that game circled. I'm picking Texas to win it because of the quarterback situation. I think Texas's quarterback situation is far more established than what you've got at Ohio State. And I'm not saying that Ohio State, you know, they don't have a talented quarter, you know, their quarterback situation stinks. I just think that Arch Manning is Arch Manning, and he's got all of that hype and pedigree behind him. So I'm going, that's, to me, that's the difference, is the quarterback position. That's why I'm picking Texas. But I can see, I wouldn't be stunned if Ohio State won that game. The other game I have circles, October the 4th against the Gators. I just told you why. I think Florida is going to be very, very up for that game. They're going to be very motivated to get it at home. Napier needs to get that game. I really think he's got to go 8-4 and then win the bowl game to be able to keep himself from discussions of being relieved of his duties in Gainesville, and that's a game he's got to get. So I think that's a tricky game. I've got him winning it, but I've got it circled too. I've got the Georgia game circled. A lot of questions about, you know, the viability at quarterback for the Bulldogs. Again, situation at quarterback for Texas is a lot more stable than what we have at Georgia. So I wouldn't be stunned for Texas to win that game. The reason I'm picking Georgia to win it is because it's in Athens, and defensively, Georgia's roster is just nuts. Kirby does a fantastic job of recruiting, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't think Texas's defense is nearly as good as Georgia's defense. And I think Georgia will find a way to score just enough points, as they have done the last couple of games against Texas, to win the football game, including the blowout that they had in the regular season. And then the other game I've got circled is the Texas A&M game, simply because that's a big-time rivalry game, in-state game. Anything goes in that game. Nothing's off the table. Crazy things typically happen in that game. So that's another game that I can see. I wouldn't be stunned if there was a fly in the ointment there and A&M found a way to beat Texas. So if that's the case, right, if they drop Ohio State, they drop Florida, they drop Georgia, and they drop A&M, I'm picking them to go 11-1. But worst case, I've got them at 8-4. 8-4. Best case is really easy. They win all their games, which I think they're capable of doing, and they beat Georgia, which I'm picking them to lose, and they go 12-0, which would probably secure them as a one seed, probably the overall one seed if that were to happen. If they go 12-0 with wins over Ohio State and Georgia, I cannot imagine how they would not be the number one seed going in when you've beaten the defending national champions and the standard bearer for the last 5 or 6 years in college football. We'll see how it goes. So I've got them 11-1. Best case is 12-0. And I think worst case scenario for the Longhorns is an 8-4 season. And I don't think the 8-4 season is very likely. Even if they go 10-2 with that schedule, let's just say they drop to Ohio State and Georgia, I still think that they're going to say, well, their only two losses are to those two big-time programs, and they've beaten everybody else. That's good enough to get them in. And as we saw last year in the first example of the new college football playoff format, three losses, it was still good enough to get in. Three losses on the back end is good enough to get in. Two losses was almost a slam dunk. Two losses and you're still in. So they can lose Ohio State and Georgia and still find their way in.
Golnow's Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golnow's Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golnow's Collision Center, friendly, honest service. At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Your hometown and independent pharmacy in Darien is Jets Pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center. Jets Pharmacy accepts all insurances, drive-through service, and delivers to Darien and surrounding areas, including Brunswick, immunizations, competitive cash prices, and even med synchronization. So get on over to your friendly neighbors at Jets Pharmacy or give them a call at 912-437-3784. Jets Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy.
Whether you're heading to the big game or having friends over, you're going to need to get your party right. And M&B Liquors has everything you need with a large selection. And if you can't find it, the friendly M&B staff will get it for you. Be sure to ask about our keg selection, too. Locally family-owned and operated since 1985. Off exit 29 on I-95, 61 Candler Drive. Call 912-265-2567 and look for specials on Facebook. M&B Liquors.
Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max's Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Now joining us from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System, Dr. Bo Sasser. Dr. Sasser, thanks for taking the time with us.
Hey, always great to be here, Jason.
Yeah. I got to thinking about Kirk Cousins. And so I wanted to take this opportunity when we have, you know, our sit down, and I wanted to ask some questions about Kirk Cousins. So as you know, in 2023, Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles.
Right.
And he has not been the same quarterback since. So first off, your medical opinion, he tore it in 2023. Falcons signed him that contract and he doesn't play well. Do you think that there's a possibility here that the reason he didn't play well with the Falcons is tied to the Achilles injury maybe not being fully recovered from it?
And it definitely could be. He is in a position where he needs to be able to step back. He needs to be able to shuffle in the pocket. He needs to be able to step up and throw. And that does have a lot to do with your Achilles. And these injuries can take a long time to heal and rehab, as we've seen from numerous other athletes. And one, not an Achilles injury, but I do think of Ronald Acuna when he injured his ACL and he came back, mm-hmm. and he was a little slow initially.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a question you posed to me at that time. And I said, yeah, his ACL, maybe he doesn't trust it as much, or maybe his knee's just not as strong yet.
Dr. Sasser, you've had your fair share of seeing Achilles injuries and Achilles tears. How many times have you seen an athlete tear their Achilles and then, however long it takes, get back to being what they were before they tore it? Is it common?
It's common. It's common, but it takes a long time. And it actually, what's interesting is it seems to be, kind of like in Kirk Cousins' aspect, it seems to be in those people that have to really push it, you know, like law enforcement folks that do a lot of getting around and over walls and apprehending people, and athletes and so forth, that they tear the Achilles, we fix it, and it takes a long time to get that calf muscle back.
When you say it takes a long time, give me a medical opinion of from day one where you tear it to you're back to being what you were the day before you tear it. How long does that typically take a guy?
Sure. And the book answer is 6 to 9 months. The reality of what I normally see is a year or more. I'd say 12 to 15 months, which kind of falls into what you're saying.
And that's not that 12 to 15 months. That's not a guy being ready to play. That's a guy being what he was before, because I think maybe what you're saying in that 6 to 9 months, that's a guy being ready to be back physically, but maybe like Ronald Acuna Jr., step slow, a little timid. Is that kind of what you're saying?
I do. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. They're a little timid. They don't trust it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, with pitchers, with Tommy Johns, if their arm's not strong enough, they lose that velocity. They lose that accuracy. With ACLs, they just kind of lose that step. With Achilles, it's the same thing. They just don't completely trust it. You know, when an athlete, kind of working with the Chiefs and seeing athletes at that level, which there is a big difference between, as we all know, high school, college, and then professional. There really is. And when an elite D1 college player or a professional player tells you, I'm not at 100%. They could be at 99%. Mm-hmm. They could be at 97%. And for you and I, I'd be completely normal. I'd be able to do anything I want to do when I'm at 97%, but they can't.
So when Cousins came back, he threw a boatload of interceptions. There were a lot of questions about the arm strength. It didn't look like he had the same arm strength that he had pre-Achilles injury. Does an Achilles injury have anything to do with arm strength? Would that affect his ability to throw the ball at all?
I mean, the answer there, the easy answer is no, okay. as you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, look at how many football games have you ever seen where they get the quarterback out of the pocket and he's running on the side and he just kind of flings it and he throws this kind of like wounded duck because he can't plant, step, and throw. And so that is the Achilles. If you don't have a strong, especially if it was his dominant side, his back leg, if you can't plant and throw, then it's that whole kinetic chain, which starts with your legs being, you know, the foundation, and then the core, and then your shoulder and elbow and so forth and so on. And that's what we've seen with Major League Baseball players that have Achilles injuries, is they have decreased velocity and, you know, decreased power, decreased aim, just based on their placement, because they can't get that proper push off.
So he came out a couple weeks ago, Kirk Cousins did, and said that for the first time in 3 years that he was 100% healthy. Do you think that is a reality, a possible reality, that since, you know, he didn't play the second half of the season, so he got a lot of rest, and now we've had that distance of 2023, 2025, all that time to recover from the Achilles, and now he says, I'm 100% healthy. Do you think he is or could be 100% healthy from that Achilles tear now?
I think he could be 100%, definitely, and I think it takes that long. I would definitely say that what he has now is what you're going to get. Like, I don't think after 3 years it's going to get much better. But at the same time, maybe with the rehab, they focus more on the Achilles and less with his core strength, less with his upper body, which affects his technique. You know, also, he's trying to find himself a spot and not be sitting on the bench. But I do agree, and I do agree with you. You posed the question in the beginning, which is, could his Achilles have taken longer to heal, and so that affected his, you know, his accuracy and his results last year? And I would say yes, definitely.
Dr. Sasser, I appreciate your time. Oh, and by the way, this Dr. Bo Sasser joining us from Summit Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. Dr. Sasser, thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
It's a great point, right? Like, whatever Kirk Cousins is for the 2025-2026 season, that is what he is going to be from here on out, taking into consideration the age and the decline of athletes when they begin to age.
Golnaz Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golnaz Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golnaz Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
How about a little adventure in your life? Southeast Adventure Outfitters has been sharing the beautiful waterways of the Golden Isles since 1994. Kayak adventures offered daily. Full selection of kayaks from Hobie and Wilderness Systems. Schedule a private demo in Brunswick or find them every day in the Pier Village on St. Simons. Outdoor gear and clothes from Columbia, North Face, Tilly hats, even Costa sunglasses. Book a trip online at southeastadventure.com or over the phone at 912-638-6732. Group and club discounts are available too. Southeast Adventure Outfitters. Let's make some memories.
You know, down in Gwinnett with the Stripers, there are some significant names that as Braves fans, we're kind of keeping an eye on. Hurston Waldrop, Jared Kelnick, Ian Anderson, Craig Kimbrell. Those are the guys to me that I think as a Braves fan, an Atlanta Braves fan, that you're looking at to say, okay, what are they doing down in AAA? Because it is of significance. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery at 912-466-7340 or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. Let's start with Jared Kelnick. I have said all along, I have told you Atlanta Braves fans that this guy cannot play at the major league level. And, you know, the Braves gave up everything they gave up to bring him over, kind of an experiment thing. He's a former first round pick by the Mariners. Mariners gave up on him at 24 years old. And they ship him over to Atlanta. He hit like, 230 with 15 home runs. 15 home runs, by the way, was a career high for him. He's now 25 years old, pushing 26. And the Braves sent him to AAA, you know, several weeks back because he was not getting the job done in Atlanta. They sent him down in favor of Eli White. They called up Alex Verdugo, another left-handed bat, and sent Kelnick down, pretty much washing their hands of the Jared Kelnick experiment. You know, unless injuries force them to have to call him back up and let him play. At this point, down in AAA, you got to keep an eye on, well, what's he doing? AAA pitching and Major League pitching is very, very different. In AAA, the pitchers there are not as talented as the pitchers at the Major League level. You're going to see a lot more strikes at the Major League level. But the strikes that you do see at the AAA level are typically a lot of mistakes, fastballs right down the middle. So, you know, the guys that go on rehab assignments, that's why they put up these monster numbers when they're at rehab assignments, because the pitching is not as good. So with Jared Kelnick, you got to figure, right, like in Atlanta, he was hitting, you know, 220 or whatever. So going down to AAA, you got to figure if a guy's a bona fide, legitimate major league player, he's going to go down to AAA and he's going to hit over 300. Jared Kelnick ain't hitting over 300. Kelnick is hitting 247 in AAA. 247 at the AAA level. His on-base percentage is 354. That is nuts. He's slugging 371. Holy cow. Two home runs and 11 RBIs. Now, he's been down there long enough to where he should be acclimated, accustomed, and he should be swinging the bat. He should be comfortable. He should be swinging the bat like a major league player. And he's not doing it. He's hitting 247, 354 on base percentage. That's terrible. And even way more terrible than that, way more terrible, is 371 slugging. Great googly moogly. That those are numbers of a guy that's struggling to stay in the minors, much less be a major league player. I think he's done. Certainly done in Atlanta. And he holds, and because he's gone to AAA and done so poorly, when trade deadline time comes, He holds no value. You almost can't move him. Who wants to make a deal for a guy that's hitting 247 in AAA? He's not going to help your major league team. If he can't hit 300 at AAA, you're kidding yourself if you think he's going to contribute to your major league team. Another guy that we're keeping an eye on, Jared Waldrop. Not going so well for Mr. Waldrop down in AAA, which is probably why we haven't seen him in Atlanta, especially with all the pitching shuffling that the Braves have gone through early in the year. 4-3 for Waldrop, 45 and two-thirds innings, 52 strikeouts. That's pretty decent, but he's got 26 walks in 45 and two-thirds innings. That's way too many walks, and it has contributed to him having an ERA over 5.32. Remember, Hurston Waldrop is the Braves' top prospect. He is the number one guy in their minor league system right now. He is their top pitcher. He is the guy that everybody covets. 5.32 ERA, 26 walks in 45 innings. He's got to get that down. Now, the strikeout numbers are good. 52 strikeouts in 45 innings. You like that. The 5.32 ERA, you don't like it. And the 26 walks, you certainly don't. Another guy that you want to keep an eye on, Ian Anderson. Braves, of course, traded back for him. And then they DFA'd him as soon as he got to the back to the major league roster, re-signed him to a minor league deal. So he's in AAA. He's pitched okay. 1-1 with a 3.71 ERA. He's got 17 innings under his belt, 18 strikeouts in 17 innings. You like that. 10 walks. Now, the walks are a little high. Remember, he really struggled in spring training with walks. He had base runners everywhere. I think he had something like 26 innings in spring training with like 28 walks. I mean, it was just nuts, something stupid like that. Still struggling a little bit with the walks, but the numbers are better, right? He's trending in the right direction. 17 innings and only 10 walks. Still a high number. But remember, when you're throwing 26 in spring training and walking 28, that's an improvement. And the other guy I think is the most critical to the Atlanta Braves' future in 2025, and that is Craig Kimbrel. Outstanding numbers in very limited time. 1-1 with a 1.54. He's only thrown 11 and two-thirds innings, so he's still trying to get himself acclimated. So he's not quite ready, probably not quite ready to make the jump to Major League up to Atlanta, but I would say he's close. 1-1 with a 1.54, 11 and two-thirds innings, 5 walks, and 12 strikeouts. So he's a little bit over a strikeout per inning. The ERA is fantastic, 1.54. The 1-1 record, you don't really care about that because he's going to be a reliever. And, you know, there are some guys in the bullpen that are struggling, especially Iglesias. Kimbrel's got all that experience closing. He's one of the game's all-time best closers. If Iglesias doesn't get his act together, you may see Kimbrel closing games in Atlanta. I don't think that is out of the realm of possibilities. I really do not. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. So Kelnick's struggling badly. Waldrop needs to get it together. 5.32 ERA in AAA. He's got to get things right. Ian Anderson is pitching better than he pitched in spring training. And Craig Kimbrel, early on, looks the part like he is almost ready to be in Atlanta to help out with the Braves bullpen, which is very encouraging if you're an Atlanta Braves fan. Mark this, write this down, as I like to say. Write this down. If Iglesias does not have his act together in the next week and a half, Craig Kimbrel is going to get called up and he's going to close games. Period. Done.
This has been the Jason Bishop Show with Kip Branch on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Stream the show on demand 24/7 at thesouthernsportsedition.com.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. A rare feat occurred recently up in Macon. The Frederica Academy girls soccer team won its third consecutive AAA GISA state championship. The Lady Knights defeated St. Andrews 2-0 in a torrential downpour to win the statewide tournament and complete the three-peat. The Lady Knights finished the season with a 16-4-1 record. The game was delayed by 2 hours due to lightning. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Go Niles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple-A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.